So welcome everyone to Carving a New Path. My name is Andrea Hyland and I am the host of this show. And before we get into the show material, I just wanted to, for anyone who's just listening for the first time, this podcast began in 2020 in response to all the change that people were experiencing. And I wanted to invite guests and conversations on this podcast about people who've listened to their inner voice and birth new ways of being in the world. And these conversations have continued and expanded in a way so that my guest today, Sophia Wren, has been on the show before. She is a writer, a coach, a mentor, and on and on. But today is episode 36, and we're going to talk about conscious deletion. And well, first I'll just say welcome, Sophia.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So good to be back and talking about writing and conscious deletion today. So for anyone who hasn't listened to any of the podcasts before with Sophia, she helps sensitive people write for a book or business so that they can serve a wider audience. Sophia has pursued a passion for publishing online and in books for over 20 years. And for 10 years, she's run her own business, learning how to sell and connect with writing. She now focuses on entrepreneurs and writers ready to hone their writing, reach the people they are here to serve, and feel the love. So, anything you want to say before I dive into a question to get our conversation starting today?
I'm feeling the love.
Okay, you're feeling the love. There's definitely love coming from me to you and from many of our listeners, I know, who know and love you. Yeah. I love our collaborations, our conscious conversations, and all of that. So thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. I'm tickled.
So, all right, let me just start with a question. Why is conscious deletion an important topic?
Yeah, you know, we're going to get deep on this one because I really think that creation and destruction are kind of in this beautiful paradigm together. You know, they're like two different sides of a page. You can't really disconnect them. Because whenever you create something, that newness is pushing something else aside. And I love also, at a second level, I love also the analogy of spiders and spider webs that I learned that the female spiders, when they eat, I don't know if it's just females, but the spiders, when they eat their prey, you know, they're also eating their web because their web is like all around them. And they actually will go beyond that and like, eventually, if they were to like pick up shop and go somewhere else, they'll eat their whole web because the web has essential nutrients for making more webs. They destroy their past creation for the new creation, and they consciously delete their web. So I think that as you engage with the idea of conscious deletion, you can regain so much of your potency and so much of your power that you can use to create something else.
Well, I am like, there's a part of me that's so excited about this conversation and also like going, deleting my art and everything. And there's so many layers to it. I mean, I'd just like to ask you, what got you thinking about it?
Yeah, it's definitely very multifaceted and very complex and in some ways very scary. And I think that sometimes when people go into this path, they don't even know that that's where they're going to end up. And maybe it's better that way. But I have seen a couple of my clients that I've worked with for 6 months or more go through this process. And I've been really, really proud of them. And they've been really ecstatic about where they ended up. So I had two people, both of whom in the last few years came to me with like a book idea or an idea to write a bunch of things that they could use to share about their business. And they were personal stories. And so they didn't really know what they were going to end up doing with it, but they knew they needed to write it and they needed to get clear on, you know, by going through the process, you know, hopefully by the end of it, they would either get over the fears around sharing and feel ready to do that, or have clarity on like, do they need to share it or not? You know, would it be too personal or not? You know, so they were kind of in the soup, not really sure what was going to happen, but they knew they wanted to write, which is why I was part of the process, helping them with that. And then as we went on this journey, it took so many twists and turns, but at each point I was there to be like, hey, I read this, you know, I'm here to like shine some positivity on the things that you're doing well. And I'm here for any of the emotional support for things coming up. And is there any feedback that will be helpful to enhance the writing if you want to do that? And sometimes people don't need feedback because they're like, nope, I'm just going to move to the next chapter. I'm just going to move to the next thing. Just going to get it out. Just going to get it out. And, but by the end of the process, both of them felt like, okay, I've got like a whole stack of writing now. And I feel complete with it. I feel like I don't need to prove anything to anybody with this. This was just for me. I feel like in this container, this loving container, I got whatever healing, whatever got moved that needed to move. I am not stuck in it anymore. I have perspective now. And yeah, it is firmly going on the shelf as done. You know, like I don't think that they deleted the file from their computer, but mentally, they deleted the expectation that this was to be shared and this was incomplete. You know, they decided, nope, it is done. It's off of my cart. It's off of my consciousness. It is out of my head and is on the shelf. I got what I needed to with it and I'm complete. And it was so inspiring to me because they both reported feeling like freer in their relationships with people, to connect with people more deeply and just feel more confident about themselves outside of writing. They both ended up putting up their first websites for their businesses. Ones that were very simple, but that said everything that needed to be said. So you get what they're doing, you know, and wasted no breath and just kind of strode forward with confidence on their own. You know, they're both complete with that coaching now. And it's just was really cool to see. And it was so inspiring that I actually took it to heart because I had spent 8 years working on a book and I ended up publishing it for about 3 years. And then last year, having gone through this journey with my clients, you know, I was like, you know what, honestly, I think that that book, I kind of want to delete it. Like, I kind of want to delete it. And I wasn't judging it anymore. I was like, you know what, maybe this is part of healthy growth, that sometimes you create something and you're just done. You're just complete. It's not to, you know, to judge it as that was so bad, I have to get rid of it and hide it. It's like, no, I'm just over it. I'm complete. And that doesn't have to mean any kind of thing other than I'm a spider that wants to gobble this up and I want to have energy for the next chapter. I want a clean slate. I want to be able to take a course somewhere new. And I've heard in my life how that intuition has really led me. I completely redid my life when I was 30. So I know to listen to that intuition. It's gotten me so far. So I did. I turned around and I unpublished that book. Took like 5 minutes after all of my mental cogitation about it and feelings about it. It took 5 minutes to take it off and I felt so free and so light. And I was just ready for the next chapter. And so it's not something that people really talk about. But because I think that once we set a goal, people kind of feel like obligated to follow through. And that if they don't, that says something bad about them, that they're like, don't follow through. Or they don't love themselves, or they don't believe in themselves. Like, why wouldn't you believe in yourself enough? Is your book bad? Do you know, do you lack confidence? You know what I mean? Like we turn it into, it's a bad thing, but I think that it's totally individual. It's totally individual to the project and to you and the moment. And you don't owe an explanation to anybody else. If you're over it, you're over it. And it can feel great.
You know, I really love this because when we first started talking about this, and actually there's lots of conversations that could come out of this, as well as tools, yeah, and resources that you use for different things. So I think I'll circle back to that in a minute. But the first thing is this whole idea of deleting and completing, bringing something to an end that is an expectation, that is an idea, and that the whole idea of creativity as being a path to healing and completing and processing parts of our lives. So I love that you brought it into it, because I kept thinking about like how I hold on to writings and don't delete them, and which has benefit also. So actually, I think I'll just circle and share a couple of things. When
sure.
I wrote my book, when I published my book in 2018, Heal My Voice, An Evolutionary Woman's Journey, I was so happy that I had held on to all of these emails that were around the top from the beginning of Heal My Voice, my organization, to the time that I was writing the book, because there were things I was writing and I was like, wait, what was the timing of that? Or was there something I've forgotten? And I was able to go back and look through all of this content that was emails. And once I finished the book, I went back and deleted a lot of emails because I had what I needed, and there was nothing there that would ever become another book or whatever. I had the history, I had it, you know, in a form I completed, and everything else I could let go of, you know. So there's like that as a process, being someone who writes and creates, and that history can be important for the, you know, that it's only in that place. And I also shared with you how when my daughter and I went to Jonas Brothers concerts, and we went to 78 concerts in like, how many years was that? 3 years, I guess. And I thought I was going to turn it into a book. And I actually have a lot of the writings, and I do have some photos, but there was a lot on that computer that died. The computer died. And no wonder, it was in a hot car for years, you know, we would drive all over the United States and Canada and leave it in there. And yes, I fried that computer. And I can remember just the devastation of everything being gone. And then I did have some things that I'd already printed. I had some photos I was able to find on Facebook. And I don't know if I'll ever write another book from that, because partly I don't even know what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. I've gone through different iterations of trying to piece it together. And, you know, people are like, oh, it was a journey with your daughter. Actually, no. We had an experience being in a car side by side in different parts of the venue. We very rarely even sat together at the concerts.
Okay.
It's like, no, that wasn't it. There was something that we were each coming into ourselves individually. So anyway, but it's so that one I'm not ready to put on the shelf as complete. It's kind of like on the shelf as a possibility I may pick up when I'm in 70s or 80s and there's a new insight or a dream comes to me or something. So this whole, but the other thing is that while you were talking, I was thinking about when my Heal My Voice book came out, I did this whole series of YouTube videos. And about a year ago, I decided I didn't want those to be live anymore.
Hmm.
And so I haven't deleted them, but I definitely made them private. And and I may go back and kind of get a gist. I don't know. I may listen to some of them, but at some point I feel like I'll delete them and be done with that. Like that was just a time in my life. And if I were to ever do any kind of promoting or anything else around that book, it would be with the me I am now, not the me I was when I published it in 2018, but who I've become since that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the whole like range of like feelings are so complicated, and all of these kind of creative endeavors are so complicated. So there's not like, it's not like quite black and white, like I deleted it or I didn't delete it. You know, like sometimes you know, like, oh yeah, like I said, my book got unpublished. But then, like I said, I still have a copy of it physically. I still have the manuscript on my computer. If I ever wanted to republish it, I could, you know. In the modern day, we have so much storage ability that a lot of times people do just archive it. And it's almost like, but it's almost like making it private is deleting it, you know, like, you know, that's kind of like what is real now in the world is like what other people can see. And if it's like private just for you, it's like it doesn't exist, you know, unless you're talking about it all the time, which I assume you wouldn't be if you deleted it, but, you know, mentally.
Right.
So it's complicated. And I think that there are plenty of things that do linger in kind of the gray area. And it's especially tough when you're a writer and you lost something due to some kind of technical glitch. Because that was like not a conscious choice. Like it was taken from you, you know what I mean? And I think anything that's been taken from you, it kind of like, maybe you would have just been able to read it again and been like, ah, actually I'm good. Like there's nothing in there I want. And just having that extra chance might've been like just a fast track to feeling done, you know, but just not having it. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time, but I think of it kind of like relationships a little bit. Like sometimes, like, let's say you have a friend and you guys have something that makes you feel bad and then you don't bring it up. And then years go by. It's like, is it still in your mind? Is something that like you still feel something about? That's super common. I'm going to admit I have some things like that. Mm-hmm. But like today I was thinking about a person that I have been kind of processing those feelings about, thinking about, should I have a conversation with her about some newer things? I don't want to make it a laundry list of everything from the last decade. So like, how do I get to a place of clarity about what to talk to her about and what not to? And in the process, it was not immediate. In the process, I was able to let go of a couple of those items, you know, from a long time ago. I've been like, okay, I feel like I finally was put on the shelf. I didn't need to talk to her, but I had to do my own emotional stuff. And the thing is that we're busy. We have a lot of things. If you're creative, you're going to have a lot of ideas. Some of those are not ripe. That's not the time, you know, that maybe something will pop later with it. So there's a reason why it's on the shelf in the middle situation. Yeah. And it's kind of like, what is the priority right now? You know what I mean? Because we only have so much time. There's a million things we could do with it. So I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where like everything is cleared out. And, but sometimes you have an excuse, like a move, you know, sometimes you use that as an opportunity to declutter your possessions. Maybe if you're moving to a new computer, you put everything in the archive folder and like, just get it out of your face, you know? But it's, I had the experience that when I went to Japan, so I was 30, I was feeling like really stifled in my life, was just needed a change. And I was really reluctant to let go of what I had and to basically destroy it because I was comfortable-ish. And it was like what I knew, it was like the devil I know. And I didn't really want to change it. And so I kept saying, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But like, it was not fine. And I finally realized that, you know, but then as I realized that, then it began a long process of slowly letting go of different aspects of it. Because I got the idea that like the perfect life change would be to go to Japan. And I got this idea. And then it took multiple years to get to the point where I was in Japan. So I had to go through all of my things. I moved 10 times. So all those times was like a shedding of something I didn't need. I changed in the way I was in different relationships. I changed jobs. I changed how I was doing things in my business. I changed, you know, I was, had been in a relationship. Now I wasn't. There were like 50 different things I had to let go of with that. And it was a long process, but then at the end of it, you know, I'm so glad I did that. And I also kind of had this reason to like wrap up a lot of loose ends. I was like, I got to do my back taxes because I'm not taking all these receipts with me. You know, I got to do this because it's not going to get done. You know, and I kind of had that opportunity to be like, I'm either doing it or it's not getting done. Mm-hmm. And I'm either going to go through those boxes or I'm going to put them in storage for another time. And just having the mental space where you're deciding, I'm letting it fall in the crack or I'm not, you know? And to me, that's deletion. That's conscious deletion. Like, you might not end up actually dealing with it, but you're conscious about it. And it's the biggest thing is our expectations of ourselves, you know, because if you have a huge laundry list of like things on your to-do list, you're not going to get it all done. But you can consciously, and I think that we are kind of reluctant sometimes to like sit down and really consciously make those decisions because it's like feels like we're losing something, you know, and we don't really want to lose anything. We don't want to let go of these things. Maybe we don't have a better way to like organize things for the future, but or archive things from the past, you know, to kind of just get it, get mental clear space. But yes, it's not always like, oh, if I write everything on my to-do list, I'm going to get everything done today. It's not how life works. You know, you might look at your garage. Oh, I really need to clear that out. Like, I'm going to do it on Saturday.
Right.
Might not happen on Saturday, you know, like maybe a little bit. Like, so many things just take a long time. So we have to really like prioritize and just accept that we're not going to get to everything. And that in itself is a conscious deletion that so many of us can't grapple with. But yeah, you might need to like sit down for 30 minutes, look at it all and just really assess what is the bare minimum, what's realistic, and then like stop expecting yourself to do more and didn't feel bad about it. You know, like that's something I've really had to work with a lot in terms of, so I feel like our expectations are so important to look at, physical crap that we have in our life, and just understand it's a process. It's not going to like immediately be a band-aid situation, and then old files and stuff, you know, maybe you put it on another hard drive or a cloud or something, get it off your desktop. You know, I think are just the things that we see all the time are really important to try to keep clear a little bit better. And then they just like, you know, they pile up again. So it's like a constant rhythm of getting to it. And then like goals and ideas, like having somewhere you can put your goals and ideas for another day that, you know, it's not ripe right now, but like one day. And then, yeah, you might need to go in there periodically and decide, actually, this thing, we're not going to do anything with it. It's cluttering us up. So I can't see the brilliance. Let me put that somewhere else. Get it out of view. And just kind of like these layers of just shedding like 10% here and 10% here and 10% here sometimes is an easier way to do it than trying to get it all done at once. I think that's what I really learned is like patience and just be in the process.
You know, I love that. And I always love our conversations because it brings up, it just expands the way that I'm thinking about things. Because one thing I hadn't thought of when we were talking last week was how holding on to certain things is also about what does that thing represent in your life and what has changed in your life. And the thing I was thinking about is, so my husband died 19 years ago. And right after he died, a friend of mine asked if my daughter and I would fly from Maryland to LA to see her daughter in a one-woman show that she had written and created and was going to perform. And so we went there. And next to the theater, which the show was amazing, by the way, next to the theater was an art store. And I bought a painting there of a woman dancing by herself, just, you know, full out, like you could just see the movement in the painting. And when I was in LA this last time, I decided to get rid of the painting, to pass it on to someone else, that had so much value in my life for the last 19 years about doing my own dance, coming into myself, listening to my voice, being the dancer alone, and building community in a different way. But it felt like when I was there this last time, like I was ready to pass it on to someone else who needed that, and that if I buy another painting, there's something more expansive that wants to come into being, and that holding on to that painting, just because it was from a time where I was coming into this part of myself, this evolutionary woman who would start heal my voice and come into my voice more, it felt like holding on to it was actually, or keeping it was holding me back.
Right.
And so that those, like, I know one of the things we're going to talk about is, and we've kind of woven this in, what kinds of things to delete from your life. But
yeah.
that just kind of surfaced as a totally unexpected thing that is someone else's creation, but it represented my voice, my writing, my creativity, you know, and that holding on to it was actually stifling me. You know, and it was time to, so I don't know, let's talk about like a little bit more about what kinds of things to delete, or what unexpected things that you might think, well, what does this have to do with the writing that I have in my Word document? You know, it's like, yeah, but it is all connected.
It definitely is all connected. And, you know, everyone's different. Like, you know, like you said, you recognize that feeling of, this isn't expansive, you know, it was at a time, but then like you outgrew it. It was like, now it's the new chrysalis, you know, now it's the new stage to jump off from. So it was helpful. And then now, you know, you have the sense of like, it would feel more expansive to like give this to another person and have it enrich their life and know it's out in the world doing its magic. And I don't need to like carry it with me everywhere because I think I've moved forward. And you know, it's a really beautiful thing, but that took time. You know, that wasn't like the day after you bought it. You know what I mean? That took a long time, and you probably thought about it a little bit. And so I think anything that, I think it's, you know, if people kind of think about what's really meaningful for them, you know, so sometimes it is a writing project. You know, like I said, I worked on something for 8 years, and in my mind, it was like this big thing, this big like personal expression piece. But then by the time, you know, I think what it really helped me in a lot of ways to go through that healing process of writing and sharing and receiving love. And then I realized, you know, woke up one day and realized like, wow, I'm so different. Like so much has happened in the years since I published this that I'm now a different person. I don't feel like going back and editing this anymore. I'm complete. So for me, that was a very, very, very personal, very meaningful, symbolic type of thing, just sort of like your painting was. So those sort of symbols, there's so much power in them that there's just as much power in like reabsorbing it. So if people have their own things that are really meaningful, that can be something to look at. You know, do you feel like it's something, is it on that to-do list of like things you need to repair or rehome, or, you know, is it on a to-do list of like, I need to get around to this? And you can kind of maybe assess like, is it really feeling like a big energy sinkhole? Like there's something, memories, significance, like tied up with it. Or like, will I feel a lot freer on the other side of doing this? Like, for instance, one thing for me is I will tell myself, I've been meaning to frame certain photos for a long time and get them on my wall. And I know that I have a couple of pictures up on my wall right now, and they took me many months to get around doing. But once I do them, I feel so glad I did, you know? And, you know, for me, decorations aren't something that I think about a lot, but like they're such a good example because you see them and they're part of your life and they definitely have an effect. So yeah, changing that can make a really big difference. I think also like just anything in your immediate environment, like I always make soup. And recently I had to realize that my old soup pot was needing replaced, to be replaced, you know, but for me, that was such a priority because I was like, I always make soup. That took no time, you know, but some of these things can be, you know, where you do have resistance, I think is really cool to look at. Because again, it's a process. It's not the same as like, I need to sit down and just knock this out like in 30 minutes by Googling, but I might need to do some journaling. I might need to do some dancing. I might need to do some talking to my best friend? I might need to do something with a coach. I might need to do something, take a class, or, you know, to work through why am I resisting dealing with this thing? You know, so many of us have extra physical items, but the reason why those are hard to let go of is because they usually have emotional attachments to them. You know, if you have to go through a loved one who died, their possessions, like some people can knock that out really fast, but I'm not one of those people. So I take a really long time, again, kind of shedding in layers bit by bit. Old photos, anything on your phone. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I take photos and I take screenshots and I take videos and things. And so they can end up being on a phone or trapped on a certain device. And so, you know, periodically I have to go decide, is this going to stay or should I just delete this? And that's easier if you do it more often because, you know, you'll remember what something actually is. Sometimes I have to go kind of rack my head. What was this document? I don't know. Why did I download it from the internet? And so that is there as well. But I kind of like, I always like having an area. Either I do it both with my files and also with my notes, that I have an area for my current projects and the things that I'm archiving. So anything that's sort of like a right now project, I want to have it in a place I can just go look at it and see all the information about those things, access those photos, access those files, access the to-dos. But I have to assess sometimes like, okay, now it's becoming too cluttered and I'm feeling overwhelmed. So then I need to move some out to be, this is for the future or this, you know, and I don't even need to delete it, but to my brain, it's deleted because I no longer am looking at it all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's deleted enough for me to be able to focus. So that kind of concept of like, where do I look? You know, am I looking at my desktop? Am I looking at my desk? Am I looking at a corkboard? And is that getting cluttered up? And the process can be sometimes sort of hard, you know, of I don't want to remove this thing, but like, let's be honest, I'm not going to do anything with it for a long time. So it's time to move it on. I always feel sad every time I finish a notebook and I have to like put it aside and get a new one. You know, there are emotions with it. And I think that's why we avoid, you know, we have so many things now that can distract us, like on the internet, courses, classes, videos, articles, there's a million and one things. And so having too much is a big problem for most of us. And having to kind of weed through things and decide like if you have a million tabs, how to, you know, it might be time to just copy the links from them somewhere and then close them all up, or, you know, just, mm-hmm. I'm a big tab person.
I do that. I have to do that to like, okay, wait, I really need to reboot my computer. And I'll go in and copy them. And then a lot of times I never even go back and look at those links, but just knowing they're there for a while is good.
Right. You know, yeah. Like, and that's kind of like a middle ground thing of like, I didn't delete it all the way, but I deleted it enough. And I think that's a great analogy too, the computer, like, the tabs make you, having too many tabs open makes your computer run slow. Mm-hmm. And that's just like our brains. So it's like, where is the tab open, you know? And again, like those expectations that we have of ourselves and our goals, and they can really clutter our brain. So I always love to just like, I think that when I write things, I kind of delete things from my mind, you know, because I know it's on paper. So just like moving something to a place that you can access it, like later on, you can now delete it from your consciousness and be more present and open and focused on whatever's new, whatever's next, you know, because yeah, I can have 20 things in my brain, but I can only realistically focus on one. So get it all out and then I won't have the brain space. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it for me is it's, I'm okay with having archived, you know, documents and stuff like that. I kind of love, I feel like it gives me a sense of peace knowing it's somewhere. And then I can have that like goodbye, goodbye tab in my brain, in my soul. We will come back to you maybe one day, but for now it is off the schedule. It is not for me anymore. It's kind of like if you ever, But it's just, again, it's like it's like knowing, okay, so like if you had some pants you need to return, and like I'm this person. So you have some pants you need to return, and you don't return them, and you don't return them, and you don't return them. And now it's past the window you can return them. And you think, maybe there's okay pants. I don't remember why I wanted to return them. Is it okay? Well, it's too late now, so maybe I'll just keep them. And you finally put them on, and you're like, no, there was a reason, but they're still in your house and still in my house. And, I just have it in the pile of like still pending to go to Goodwill, but like I've accepted I'm not going to get that refund. I think sometimes it's just about like we have different stages, but by not consciously deleting something, sometimes you end up just consciously deleting it. But having it drag out and not being able to like get the refund energetically. And that's what I don't want. So that's why I wanted to bring this up, because there's just so many ways we can avoid or postpone. You can go watch YouTube, you can go do something else. And then we have this collection that just never stops collecting of all these ideas that we want to pursue and all these writing projects that we want to do one day. And we don't actually process anything. We don't actually go on the journey to get to the other side. Like all of my clients who had that idea of like, oh, I want to write, if they had just had it in their head, like, I want to write a book about this and never done anything, then they would still be carrying that weight. But because they went through it, they got to the other side, they got to feel light and they got to feel like all these doors open in their life. So I think that sometimes it's helpful to think about conscious deleting, because maybe that's a little bit more what people need as a first step to even have the bandwidth to create. Maybe first you have to cleanse your environment and then, yeah, suck up all that energy, and then you can have more for the next chapter.
I love that. This has just been so expansive. I want to, I'm inspired. I feel like I would love to invite you back to have us create a show that is focused on some of the more of the tools and resources that you use around this. And so if you're willing to come back and do that, because it feels like this was such a rich conversation and ideas, that let's create another time to get together and do that. Because I noticed that your article in On Purpose Woman magazine is about a tool that you use, writing tracker. So
I
we'll
have one.
come back to
Okay,
that.
cool.
Is there anything that you want to complete, like an important point to take home?
Let me see here. Yeah, I think one last thing I wanted to say is that it's okay to change your mind about things. Like I said, as you create something new, you're always deleting something old. And I think that we have a culture where if people feel like they're not allowed to change their mind. And you are. And you are. And it can be really hard to be in that space where you feel like you've changed your mind, or maybe you need to change something outside of it. But first, you have to believe in yourself and believe that it's okay to change your mind, and that that's like a totally smart, wise, natural, evolved thing to do. That's not like a lesser loser quitter thing to do. And that all comes back down to, again, expectations, that we have to revise our expectations. You might have said, I'm going to do XYZ. I'm going to publish my book this year. And then realize, like, oh my God, my daughter's having a baby. And oh my God, all this stuff is happening. Like, the expectation that you also need to write a book in that case would just cause you more suffering. And it was supposed to be something that made you feel good. So it's really important for us to try to spend a little time trying to be aware of what's going on, especially if you're feeling weighed down. And what is weighing you down? And is there something that you could change or something you can delete? Because we do it to ourselves a lot of times, and nobody else can like save us from our own heavy expectations, but we can feel really judged by other people. But at the end of the day, we're the powerful ones and we can change our mind anytime we want. And yeah, move into something new.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to let the listeners know that there are links to Sophia's website, different ways that you can connect with her, to join her fun newsletter, to there's a few links to connect with me. But anything that you want to highlight for that you're excited about working with clients right now?
Yeah, I love my fun letters, my weekly newsletters. I always try to bring positivity to people's inbox if you want to hear about what's going on with me and what I'm writing about. And I also share other thoughts on creativity and writing and life. And then if anyone would like to talk about my mentorship program that the clients I mentioned went through over 6 months or more to write, to get deep into your stories and have a healing, safe container to enhance your writing or to process it and let it go and figure out what you do want to share with the world instead. That is something that I offer, the personal writing mentorship. And then if you're just looking for some help to declutter your brain and have a sense of what you're doing with your projects by getting organized. I have a digital organization membership where I'm going to share my process for getting clear on what all my projects are and how to juggle them all and not feel so overwhelmed because I have it all organized.
Fabulous. So thanks everyone for listening. Sophia, thank you for being here. I really am taking away so much from our conversation and being allowed to change my mind. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's change the culture to be okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone. And thanks Sophia. And thanks for listening.